The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Ronnie, he's Paul, and sometimes it's just as simple as 1, 2, 3. That's one bovril for me, two brideys for Paul, and 3 points for Abdi Else. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, Duo do the double, a hard-fought win on the road, My Good, Bad and Ugly, Bairns preview, The Lone Report, The Academy, The Women's Team, our A to Z of Dundee United, and On This Day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up on episode 216 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Hi, I'm Agustin Merwick, and you are listening to the Dode Fox Podcast.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with, of course, the Kinross jobby, Paul McNichol, and somebody that couldn't wait to get home for a jobby on Friday, Ronnie Costello. Before we get to that, a couple of bits of info, then we'll get to Bridie Gate, which, of course, there's been conflicting reports and accusations as well. No, just on the night, but on social media as well. Before that, though, the BBC, the SPFL, doing what they do to make football accessible to all by moving our January match up in Inverness to a Friday night.
Yeah, disappointing. I dare say everybody is disappointed with that. United, Inverness, it's just...
Martin's now looking for a three-day bender rather than a two.
Of course, yeah. It probably rules me out, if I'm being honest, because you're looking at half a day off. Bairn would have to miss his football, and then you're driving back. It's just... Nah, it's probably not going to happen. I mean, I suppose in a way it's handy now that it's on the TV, because I didn't hate to mark that journey, but it's shite because it's any of them that I wanted to mark. I couldn't mark it earlier in the season for whatever reason, and I was looking forward to heading up there on a Saturday.
Well, the real reason that you didn't go to Inverness before is because you knew Martin was needing a babysitter and nobody else wanted to sign up for that.
No, exactly, and nobody should be wanting to sign up for that responsibility.
So that was it. I'm no well, honestly, I'll just stay in the house.
but it's disappointing, though.
Hugely. Given the numbers that have travelled, even on like Tuesday night's to Airdrie, which is Nathan needs to be going to Airdrie on a Tuesday night, but then to go to Inverness, which is a fair day out for some,
but it's
weekends,
it's an enjoyable end.
But to go Friday, like it's not the Friday night. Well, it's the Friday night, but won't get in it. It's the half day off your work.
Yeah,
it's the honestly, I'm working to 5 o'clock, boss, and pissing off about two. Ken, it's not something you can finish at 5 o'clock and go up there. I mean, you could, but
it's tight.
Getting through,
it's tight. You know, the roadworks and whatever.
Yes, no great for the away fans. Certainly, Again, we've said it loads of times before. It's different when it's an hour away, maybe just over an hour for a midweek game Friday night. But 3 hours up the road.
Well, it's happened before though. Like United have headed up to Dingwall on Friday nights. It's no surprise. The authorities do not care. They do not care about the fans. It never comes into their thinking. I don't even care if they get a say in it. I don't care if the BBC have got X amount of games and they just go to the league, we'll be hearing that game on that weekend. Because we're hearing that game, you now have to move it to Friday. I don't care the whole decision-making process of it, but the bottom line is fans are never, ever taken into consideration.
Yeah, so if you missed that, the match versus Inverness Cali Thistle has been moved to Friday the 12th of January, as it will be, like Paul said, on BBC Scotland. That, of course, will be a year since a certain Craig Levein, St Johnstone manager, was on our live show at the Gardine.
Do we still like him, or now that he's a manager of them?
I mean, there was a great comment my mate sent me. He must have been out the country to watch this game, of course, when he took his first game against Motherwell during the week. He said, it's nice that Craig Levein's just stopped walking the dogs for 90 minutes and just kept his same dog walking clothes on. But no, I think it's, you know, there was a lot of talk, obviously, in the summer towards the back end of the season. Was it, you know, would he come in? You know, I mean, depending on who you speak to, he could, the manager job was his. If he wanted it before Jim Goodwin took it. And then, obviously,
he spoke to the club, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like that's a fact. He spoke to the club, but for whatever reason, it never worked out. I think we said at the time, like, I would have been keen for him to come back in some capacity. I wasn't sure if I wanted him back as manager, or maybe short term, just to, like, the situation that we were in last season when it was talked about. Like, you could maybe win Azur by thinking, right, he's going to steady the ship a wee bit, but in the summer you'd be maybe looking for somebody else and him to move upstairs or something. But he's now back in the big league and he's the boss again, so yeah. We'll sit away and see how it goes. But he's at present anyway. He's still a podcast pal.
Yeah. And I think, it's like everything. It's happened, obviously, when he's been at Hearts and stuff, but I think he'd be a warm reception for everything he did achieve when he was at Tannadice, certainly.
I would imagine so. I'd imagine so.
And the other bit of news before we speak about Friday night is double monthly awards. Jim Goodwin's needing to mark another space on his mantelpiece. Mm. Manager of the Month again.
That wasn't a surprise.
Nope. We'll get to the other end.
We will get to the other end, but that wasn't a surprise. You just had to look at the results. I mean, he was maybe run close for Ian Murray, I suppose, but ultimately, we're still top of the league. We're still unbeaten. We were scoring goals galore, playing very well. It could only have been Jim Goodwin that picked up that award.
However, the player of the month award in the championship, Kai Fotheringham.
No, like we're no mocking it in any way, shape, or form. It's great. Like I've stated numerous times on this podcast, I love watching Kai play. I think he's a great wee player. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. He'll probably go on to bigger and better things in United. But when I saw that he was player of the month, I had a quick look through Ronnie and my notes about why we award the man of the match to, and he's not got any our season. So maybe it's us that didn't kind of what we're talking about. Maybe it's us.
Well, I think you said as well that even on the night he scored two, the best player in the park was Craig Civil that night.
I thought so, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
but again, it's only my opinion, but clearly somebody else thinks completely different.
Yeah. Indeed, if you are wondering, you're probably not caring. But in October, we awarded it to Glenn Middleton, Kevin Holt, Ross Docherty, and Craig Civil. Got four different Man of the Match awards is what we dished out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of going to build on who our player of the year is, and possibly a young player of the year if there's enough kind of votes. Just again, it's
just get the guy.
Just keep the guy.
Because
yeah.
Obviously,
I think he just gets handed things anyway.
He's doing things that we didn't see. So,
and people will probably know this because it came out late last night, and obviously our episode doesn't come out until nearly 24 hours because I didn't know my Sunday Morning Glory was seeing Paul for a third time in three weeks in a row. But our pal Alan Temple's reporting that Kai will be called up for the under-21s this week.
Good. Undeservedly.
Play against Belarus and Hungary. Obviously opens the door for probably Matthew Cujo on Friday night.
Yeah.
I would think. But if he does get that recognition, because when the 21 squad was announced, I was a bit surprised he wasn't in there. I know there's boys like the young kid Ben Doak down at Liverpool who's a bit of a speed merchant, seems to be an affy good player.
Mm-hmm.
But you're thinking, especially on the back of not just the award, but when you do look at his games played, his goals, his assists.
Yeah, he's flying.
Goal contributions and boys that have put a bar doing the line for Sunday gets counted as a start now. But I think in terms of the numbers, he seems to be in the right way of it. So if that is something that does come with call-offs and stuff, it will be deserved. Absolutely.
Of course it is. Yeah, there's no doubt about it that what we have witnessed, and like we're joking about him not getting our man of the match, but he has been in good form and he's contributing massively to the team. So it's deserved. The only thing I would say is I didn't really follow the under-21s. I look at the results when they happen, but I didn't ken was in the squad other than the boy Ben Doak that you're saying, but that's because he's quite high profile for such a young laddie these days because he's getting games for Liverpool every now and again.
Well, it's like anything. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll obviously touch on it if there's United players in it. And I think that's an exciting one. I mean, obviously, Jack Newman's called up again. They always call up three goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Adjie Meekison was getting a call up when he was not getting much action either. I mean, it shows how highly regarded he must be within the setup.
Mockery will not be far away. He'll not be far away if he keeps doing what he's doing.
But when you're looking at that in terms of Kai, I mean, joking aside, that we've watched the game slightly different, but his stats in October have been very good.
Yeah, he's rattling in the goals.
Yeah.
What more do you want? And he's not a striker.
Well, no for far out, but he's rattling them in.
It doesn't matter. It's the hardest bit of the game.
But yeah, a brilliant thing. If that does come to fruition over the next 24, 40 hours between us recording this and it actually coming out. So, Friday night football then, Paul. Mm-hmm. We were heading down past Kinross, of course.
Mm-hmm. Didn't stop there, though, but we went past. Give it a wee nod.
Of course you did. We appreciation.
Thank you.
Might see you later, depending on how these Bridies go. But yeah, they're filming away. Obviously, there's a lot of stats about James McPate's face as a manager so many times, hasn't won any games, loves to stick his fingers up. I could just stop that sentence there, see what happens.
Yeah.
On paper, could be tricky. Also on paper, should beat them.
Yeah, again, I was confident. I was thinking we were going to beat them 2-0.
Who is this man? Who is this confident man?
It's because of what you see on the park. It's because the way that the team have been constructed, I suppose, the way that they're playing, how good we, or how tight we look at the back, usually, when we're no slipping on our face. But I was relatively confident, because Dunfermline nearly stole 3 points at Tannadice. Like, they weren't particularly great. I would put them doing alongside Morton as one of the poorest that I'd seen all season. So when we headed through there, we kind of knew that Docherty wasn't going to be playing. I think we all kind of thought Grimshaw would be back in for Sheep. And just with that 11 in mind, I thought we should have more than enough to get the job done here.
Yeah, so no real surprises when the team went up for you. Grimshaw obviously coming back in. It was very much more of the same. Mm. Again, it's that. Hard to define the exact formation we're playing, but it seems to be a bit of a 4-4-2 when he's playing Watt and Moulton there and whatever else.
Old school.
And of course, Middleton and Kai keep their spots. John Tilson playing inside along Craig Sibbald. It was on the TV. The manager's just got manager of the month. We joked last month. We ken how that goes. And for what I hear, BBC didn't quite like us that much. Some of the comments apparently were getting banded about. But how did you see the opening of that game?
I thought at the beginning of the game, we were giving their guy Chalmers in the middle of the park, the splay-footed wonder, a wee bit of too much space. But I've noticed that in a few games this season. I feel like we, even though we won 5-0 through at Fir Hill, there was that wee pocket of space that the couple of Partick Thistle players were getting. He was kind of finding that as well. And it seems to just take us a wee bit of time to nullify that. But again, they weren't really, you know, the guy might have been getting on the ball, but I didn't think he was overly troubling with it. I think in the fullness of the first half, they've had one meek shot outside the box straight at Jack Walton.
There was obviously one instant of a wee early shout for a penalty.
Kai, have you seen it back?
No.
Right. At the time, I thought it was a penalty, but of course, at the time, I'm wearing my tangerine tinted specs. I've then went home and I've watched the game the next morning, and I think it's a penalty. Like, the reason, we got a corner, and when you see it from behind the goal, it's very, very hard to say who kicks the ball. Okay. I think it's Kai. And if it is Kai, he's then wiped out. But the ref obviously deemed it as the left back, O2 or U2 or whatever his name is.
Call away, you will.
Yes, the left back. They've obviously deemed that he got his foot on the bands, kicked out to give the corner, because I thought it was Kai. He's just nipped his leg in. He's been clever. He's put his leg there and kind of Denise has wiped him out.
So if that's in the Premiership.
If it's VAR, again, like, I've watched it back a couple of times, it is quite hard to nail your colours to the mast on Waz got their foot on the bar. But for me, it was Kai. And if it was, then it was a penalty. If he didn't, then you could still say, look, he's wiped out. There's an argument to be made.
For about the first half an hour, I actually thought John Beaton was the referee.
No.
I didn't realise. I mean, he was as hopeless as John Beaton.
No, but he'd have been preparing some sort of fan display for Ibrox or something on a Friday night rondo. He doesn't hear a whistle in a book full of girds on a Friday night.
But yeah, I think you're right in terms of Joe Chalmers got a lot of the ball, who I actually thought for a while was a very good player. I mean, he started just putting the ball in the stand quite a lot.
Quite, I think he's quite slow.
Oh, yeah.
He's quite a slow. He's neat and tidy, but he's quite slow, I think. So that's maybe his level.
We had a couple of sort of chances. Middleton had a ball in, or had a chance actually for, I think, half a Tony Watt or whatever. Couldn't really get.
Scramble in the box and Middleton tried to back heel it.
A little bit, yeah. And then there was a chance for following him around about half hour, but his header went wide. Craig Whiting, of course, we give credit to for his goal at Tannadice. And you just think when boys are that on the park, you just think there's always a chance that he might just score just for the sake of it.
Oh, there always is.
But Kevin Holt was on hand. He threw his body on the line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did he get anything about it? I'm not sure, because I've saw it back and he's in the right place at the right time, but I don't know if he cares much about it. But it was no surprise, on about Whiting, it was no surprise that he started the game, because I didn't think he started the last couple, and he actually replaced their top scorer. And I think that's McPaik realising the history and like the way the stars align sometimes when that arsehole plays against United, that he invariably finds himself on the score sheet. So I wasn't surprised to see him, but again, you could say it was a half chance or a good chance, but it didn't trouble the keeper. It went past the post. Kevin Holt done his job. So we were never really, at the game, like you would, it's like a different person sitting here speaking to you, Rondo, because at the game, I'm an emotional mess. Okay, I'm shouting, I'm screaming, I'm having a go at Abdi. And then I watch the game back and I'm like, what do I get my knickers in a twist about? Like, it was very, very comfortable, I thought, watching it all back. And ironically, like, I feel like I'm picking on Kai here, which I'm absolutely not, but I didn't think he was particularly great first half. And then he goes and...
I don't think he got much change at the left back.
No, he didn't. But there was also, there was a realisation, it felt, from him after a couple of attempts of trying to get past him. He just wouldn't even attempt to take him on. But we're here to speak about his goal, because it was a sensational touch for him, for the cross in for McMahon.
Does it come against the run of play?
I didn't think it was against the run of play. I thought it was against the run of Kai's form at that particular time in the match. But as I remember, when he scored, I turned to the boy next to us. Well, I was delighted because he had United scoring in both halves for £150 or something. So he was over the moon at the end of the game. I've never met the man, but I did hug him at both goals. But I was like, I can't believe he's got on the score sheet there. He was like, neither can I. But we're taking it. We're loving it. Yep. It was, yeah, so the goal itself, it's about from Middleton to McMahon.
Great man.
Yeah, and they're becoming a cracking duo doing that side of the park.
Filthy touch.
The touch for Kai into Louis Malt is sensational. Yeah. It's all,
and I think it's definitely lostening at the game. And until the camera actually goes in on it a bit more, even watching it, it's lost on you. But I watched it go back the first time I see it.
It's not a miscontrol. It's nothing. He purposely lays the ball back to Louis. Or
Paul's currently shown me what he's done.
Louis Malt. And Louis Malt then tees up Grimshaw, and Abdi's thinking, "Dinna you touch yet?" And he hits a screamer. I think the keeper should be better.
For both goals, go get that.
But Kai, like he's the one man that's just never stopped moving in the hill. When you see the footage for the side on, he's never stopped moving. He follows it in, and he's there on hand to knock it in. Brilliant celebration, because he was getting pelters for the young team, the singing section at Dunfermline. So
yeah,
celebrated wildly.
Yeah, no, again, the whole, that move again, you know, it was all about the patient build-up. I think as Grimshaw sticks about, and Middleton as well, he keeps the sort of bar moving. And I think for there, I mean, against the run of plays may have been harsh, but I think for, again, there was wee spells that were for 10 minutes, like you said, we were just, do you just hear the bar? We're all right here.
Yeah, you know, I think that's because we say it every week, we're so comfortable defending against teams in this league. So we didn't seem to lose our shit. We didn't seem to get panicked when the team had a wee bit of possession for a small period of time. So that's what happened. Now, I can't remember if it was before or after that, but Dennis has fell on his ear starting a goal kick.
I think it was just after that.
And yeah, he's laid it on a plate to Louis Malt, who has had a howling first touch, or it would have been 2-0.
Yeah.
He should have done better there.
He said, I mean,
And he kicked him in the face.
For your mates watching that, he had every thing to go for that bar.
Definitely. The thing is, like these days, usually you get a booking or sent off. Like that used to be par for the course, a 50-50 with the keeper. But you don't often see it these days. But he does go for it, and he has to go for it because he's took a poor touch, and he's caught Dennis in the face, and he's later then had to go off, has he?
Yeah, and when the halftime whistle goes out, kind of did just sum it up. Fair reflection on the game?
Comfortable. Apart from the fact I'm shouting, screaming and bawling at Abdi. No, I did a thing, like, because you're trying to analyse it, and I can only, and now clearly remember that they've had a shot on target in the first half, Dunfermline that is, but at the game I was like, they've not even troubled us. Like, Whiting's miss was about the closest they've come, which isn't accurate. They did have one shot for outside the box, which was powder puff. But they didn't really overly worry with it. And I thought that we were getting buzz into their box. We were causing them a wee bit of bother. So I was sitting comfortably thinking that I'm halfway at my production here. I've said 2-0, we're 1-0 up.
And then at second half, the goalie was subbed, and it was a concussion sub.
Yeah, that's how they got to bring on 8 players or whatever it was.
Seemed that way.
Always does, though, when they bring them on in dribs and drabs.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we said it the last time as well. I mean, it's some goalie kit, that.
It's as boffin as the goalie's wearing it.
It's bad.
It's not the best.
No. And the good thing was, it was like, maybe we're saving our mere goals for doing in front of us.
Yep. I said that to the wee man at the game.
And then, I think I did see it was bars over the bar, past the post. Mm-hmm. He was holding on to it far too long and all that. But I think we started okay in the second half. Again, I think there's a lot of that. Like you say, the bar, round the back, it's fine, it's no doing nothing. And then when a goal comes against us this season, we're certainly involved in it.
Yeah.
Because
it was just
got the ball in their box at one point, and then two passes later, it
comes for, as you say, I think it's a cross into the box, or certainly a pass into Tony Watt. He tries to lay it off to somebody. It then gets cleared up to somebody else. And then I was thinking at the time, Sibbald will just nick that away from the boy, doesn't he? Misses it. And then you're thinking, oh Christ, they've got a 2-on-1 here for about hour half. And the boy was running and running. And I can remember it clearly, thinking Declan Gallagher's defending brilliantly here, because he's no giving the boy the bar, but he's also no giving him that much space that he can do anything. And then he just thought, what the hell am I doing? I'm feeling quite sleepy. I put my head on this imaginary pillow.
The thing as well, wasn't the only one that slipped?
No, there was a few slipping in the game, but that was the mist.
Did you see in the warm-up, there was goalies starting divots on him.
Jack Walton slipped.
So there was a fair, it seemed to be like that, but when that happened, you were thinking,
calamity, like
you're mean super Jack Walton, that's in.
It's a great finish for the boy.
Brilliant wee finish.
And at the same time, like, I wasn't a, like, watching it back, the commentators on the TV were surprised that he went off right after it. I was not, because I don't remember him doing anything in the game other than that goal. And I always say, like, scoring's the hardest part of the game, but, like, that boy I don't think he ever got into the game. Took his goal very well, but Christ almighty, he had to run half the length of the park unchallenged. The last line of defence fell on his face, and then he just had struck it in at the corner.
Yeah. I think we were certainly, that was obviously going to be a Dunfermline tactic, because they were certainly trying to hit us on the break at every single opportunity on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it didn't really work, I didn't think, because I'd want to jump too far ahead, but that was their second and last shot on target the whole night. So again, like, we were comfortable allowing them to do whatever they were trying to do. We had chances ourselves. We had good chances. Like, their keeper is, like, we've laughed at him, we're laughing at his goalie kit. Made a great save for Louis Moat. Now, at the time, I'm thinking Louis Moat should have burst the net with that header. But he's headed it down, he's hit it on target. It's a great band for Middleton as well, just a wee dink over the defender. But in fairness to the keeper, he's made a really good save. And there was another header for Louis Moat. Can't remember what was on target.
Is that the boy saves? He's got to put it the other side. Put it the other side, he scores.
I think so, yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, of course. but he's headed it down, he's hit it on target, and for relatively close range, I think we had to give the keeper his due, even though he's a horrible dairy so-and-so.
And there's obviously those bits in the game when you're seeing early. I mean, you've seen Declan Gallagher's slipped our Craig Sibbald's missed the bar, whatever. So, you know, we're involved in Super Jack Wallen, just the boys game credit, it was a great finish.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even when the boy you wanted to sign, Yakubiak, came on, and he, like, robs Kevin Holt, and then Wallen gets the save on that as well. So it's kind of like, we're not living dangerously, lads, but it's like, come on, just take a minute here to just reset ourselves a wee bit.
I know, but that was, again, that was just self-inflicted. That was madness that even got allowed to happen. But it wasn't they've not even been credited with a shot at that, because Super Jack Walton was out that quick. I'm not sure that he actually gets a shot at what, but he's out there blocking it. But Kevin Holt, Ballon d'Or Kev, he's got a lot of credit in the bank with the fans just now. So he gets away with that wee bit of buffoonery that he was doing on the edge of the box. But that was close. Like, that was a a good chance for them, but Walton bailed without.
Gets said quite a lot that substitutions can change games. Mm. And obviously there was a double substitution on the hour. Walton Fotheringham went off.
Mm-hmm.
Glass and Cudjoe came on, and then 10 minutes later, Chris Mockray.
Fotheringham always comes off, eh? Guy, he always gets subbed.
It's one of them. Like, when you're looking at the team, and I know that there's always the conversations or the comments and group chats and online and whatever, and people are saying, oh, Ken, strength and depth and whatever this. I think in the Championship, that doesn't happen. I think you can look at any Championship team, and I don't think you're saying, we'll tap their bench hours. You're not doing it, right? But I think you've got players on there that clearly can make an impact. And when all three substitutes made an impact on Friday night in whatever way, you know, it shows that they're there and there's a trust for the manager and they want to seize their opportunity, especially when there's a game round the corner when there will be changes, maybe just three or four, but there will be changes. So it's your chance to grasp that, you know. So was a surprise Kai went off, maybe, but he wasn't getting much change at the left back, like we said.
No, I don't think it was his best game.
And again, I think it's that thing we've played two, when it was effectively a four up front sometimes, but you're playing two up, that's maybe no working. So you do need to look at changing it. And it was quite interesting that Jim Goodwin was on about during the week that they don't want to give them every single bit of detail of how to do this, how to do that. They want to leave players to find solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because you can do all this on a whiteboard, on a training pitch, but when you're on for that 90 minutes, things are not always like that.
No.
You know?
Of course they're not. Like, you can draw up a million scenarios, but something will happen that you've not drew up. So they hit a winger a lot of the time.
Yeah. So the changes happen, obviously. Glass and Cudjoe are the first two. Fotheringham and Waters, obviously, a bit of a tweak in terms of how they're going to play. Glass will not play quite alongside Louis Moult, but then Cudjoe will go wide right. And I think it did give a bit more of a, like, because Declan Glass always wants on the ball. Cudjoe's always positive. Like, you'll rarely see him go back. I think my only thing is, Kai will help Grimshaw an awful lot, the same as Middleton will help McMahon. I'm not sure you get that with Matthew Cudjoe when he's on. And then I thought his night was getting summed up when a long bar come out to get us out and he couldn't get it under control. And I just thought, oh no.
But it got a wee bit worse after that, and we'll get to that after our goal. But no, like, positive subbies, as you would expect for Goodwin. He's clearly went to win the game. And Glass, like, he's done what Glass does. He got on the bar about 40 yards out and had a shot that went wildly wide. And I blame myself because I think I was the only boy in the stand that shouted shoot. And
I said that. I best arsehole McNiggle said that.
It was. And he, clearly, Deco heard this. But yeah, positive subbies. It made a difference. And then 10 minutes after, they subbies was the real difference maker on the night when we replaced Tilson, who does what he does. Like, it's unspectacular. I hope he's no becoming a bit of a target. He's no with the boo boys, but you just see it online, boys kind of questioning his ability and whatever. But he's came in and he's done a job when we didn't really have a like-for-like replacement for Ross Docherty. And I'm not saying he is. We still didn't have a like-for-like for Ross Docherty, but he's came in and he does a job. He does a specific role. But to take him off and to bring Chris Mockray on, that was a positive because they're completely different players.
Changes the shape of midfield as well.
It does, but it shows intent that you're going for it. You want to win this game.
It's that. I mean, it's to coin the phrase, the scene, it was Alan Temple wrote it in the Courier, but risk and reward. That's exactly what it is. I think we've said that a few times. It's like, we're doing here, we've got a point right now. If fancy going up the road with three, listen, it could bite you in the arse. You could get caught in the counter again, but could go with nothing. And that Fanny in the dugout's got his first win against United. But that's not what happened. No. So we were positive. We wanted on the bar. Boys wanted on the bar. Mm-hmm. We were playing. We were about five up front, it felt like, because of how we were with Middleton, Cudjoe, Mockray, Glass, and Moult. Going for it. And then, I mean, the goal. It's just.
The goal itself is, it's a great wee move because the bar's. Is it Mockray that initially plays it out to Cudjoe? And Cudjoe's surrounded, I think, as two or three players, but you just see Mockray motioning to go into the box, and Cudjoe picks him. It looks easy when you see it, but it's a great bar through the gap of the players, and then Mockery with the Peter Beardsley drop of the shoulder sends the boy into the main stand for a hot dog or whatever, and the keeper gets a wee bit of stick for no hand strong enough wrists, but he's hit the target. He's put enough power on it, and it's ended up in the top of the net, and it's just absolute bedlam behind that goal.
Scenes.
Scenes, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Mokhri mentions it after the game, like when you're a subby and you come on, your one job is to impact the game in a positive way, and coming on and scoring a winner, there's no better impact that you can have on a game. So it was absolutely fantastic. It was a great moment. It's a great goal. Like as much as me and you have spoke about, we like watching Kai, we like watching Dego, love watching Mokhri as well. Always have done when he's had the few fleeting chances in the first team at United. He's always been highly rated. He's just a very, very graceful player, the way he covers the ground, always looks to go forward. And it was great to see anybody get the winner, but great to see a local lad, a United fan, getting on the end of that and ramming it home.
Absolutely. And it was it was just before that as well, wasn't it, when the keeper got booked? Time wasting.
Yeah. Yeah, which actually wasted more time, because the ref blew the whistle, the keeper then kicks the ball out of the park, gets booked, argues about it, and then we're all waiting on the back coming back on. You're like, what's this? Is you've just played into their hands again, referee.
Yeah, yeah.
But we kind of brushed over something, or we didn't even mention it, Rondo. In the second half as well, it was doing the other end, and it was a potential penalty shout for Dunfermline when Declan Gallagher shoves the boy McCann. Now, I've seen that back on the TV, and the boy goes doing half-a easy.
Yeah.
But he definitely shoves him. So, like, you've seen them giving it. Again, you're watching it back, and the way that the footballing landscape is, I'm thinking, would VAR give that? I think they might if it was at Ibrox, and it was a team in blue that fell to the flare there.
Yeah, I think, again, even though it was up the other end, I we said this last year with Curtis Mainthan. There's a way to VAR.
Like, but he didn't get touched. Like, Gallagher definitely touches this boy. I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty, but when you do something as daft as that, it's you're allowing the referee an opportunity to make a howling erso a decision. But fortunately, we got away with it.
It certainly seems that any of the refs that have come down for the Premiership, I think, mate, it's like the referee as if VAR's in play, because nothing's immediate.
Yeah, they didn't want to make a decision.
Yeah. the amount of times I'm convinced the Lino was guessing at what throw-in it went, because it was tarting an age, and he's like, was it going that way? Is it that way? And you know what I mean? So, I mean...
It shouldn't affect linesmen on things like that, though, because that doesn't get checked for VAR. Like, is it a throw-in to that team or that team? Like, it's that simple, linesman. Come on.
Yeah, well, it should be. That's what I mean. I think it should be, but it's every a lot of things seem to turn off a long time for what it was. But I think, again, overall, it'll always be result over performance, regardless of what you're doing, away from him. Again, you know, it's another game that, you know, people can mump and moan, and we could be raging about this, that, and the next thing, but ultimately, it's another win.
Like, if you were to sum it up, I wasn't near our best performance of the season, but it was far away from our worst as well. Like, it wasn't great on the night. We maybe played down to their level a wee bit. We maybe gave them a few chances that we shouldn't have, but ultimately, as you've just said, like, we got the job done. Like, regardless of how we played, we still got the job done, and that was we gifting them a goal as well.
So some of the comments, I think we referenced the BBC, because I was getting texts about it. Like, the opening was the BBC hate United, was what it was. And one of the ones was Michael Stewart said, James McPake must be dumbfounded that this has happened and they are behind.
Yeah. Stuff might get mentioned in my good, bad and ugly. But yeah, the commentators, they seemed awfully surprised at the end that United had managed to win 2-1. And they were saying, oh, such like Matty Todd, the boy that came on for Dunfermline, like, he's had a great game tonight. I wouldn't have cared him if he delivered an Amazon parcel on my door. And that was after watching him for about half an hour on Friday. I just thought that we were comfortable. Like, we being spectacular, we being brilliant, we were comfortable on Friday. And I think that we fully merited the win. Like, we had way more chances than them.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. No, we did.
They had one good chance
that
we gifted them. They had one good chance that we gifted them, and they've scored a great finish. But Christ almighty, I would back any United player that runs unchallenged for the halfway line to have a free shot against the keeper to score, you would assume. And that's essentially what they've done.
The heart in the mouth when we gave away a free kick on the edge of our box.
Nope. Because we've got Super Jack Walton in goal.
Ken, but I just hate those moments.
It wasn't because I wasn't aware that they had a free kick specialist or anything like that. But I'll admit, I'll concede it was close, but I was over the bar. I wasn't stressed.
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying about the, you know, we went 2-1. It's only stat that really matters, but you're talking like they've had 51% possession, 49%. We're in Bahir territory there. We've had 16 shots to their 6, 5 on target to their 2, 7 corners to their 3. You know, so it packs up that they could, again.
16 fouls in the game. seven bookends.
Well.
That's mental.
Yeah, well.
Was there a bad foul?
Gallagher's was probably a yellow card, I would say, for the free kick. And their keeper got booked for being a fanny as well. That was about it, really.
McPate got booked.
I think so.
For being a fanny as well.
Oh, that's standard.
Yeah.
Should be getting banned. Yeah, I think there was certainly a few. I can't mind. I mean, they had the boy McCann got booked. That wee fanny Hamilton got booked. Number 5.
I can't stand him.
Oh, he's a wee dick, isn't he?
I can't stand. He got booked for booting Louis Moult. And it was sort of like, I didn't see
Louis Moult got booked, didn't I?
But he got booked for booting Louis Moult, and it was that late, I didn't see it at the time. I've seen it on the TV, and then when Moult's running back, the boy offers him his hand, and I think Louis Moult just empties his left nostril close to the boy. Like, gooden, like I'm going to shack your hand. He has booted us about 15 seconds ago, you wee arsehole.
He has.
The weeest centre half in the world.
Yes.
I'm no fan of him. He's played every game against us, hasn't he? And in terms of being an arsehole, it's just risen and risen and risen in my mind every game.
The arsehole league table that he tops.
Oh, he's away with it. Award him the title now. Saying that, the boy Easton at Wraith, he's running him close.
He is about an arsehole, and nah. So, man of the match.
Man of the match, well, I can't really split them because it's McMahon or Middleton. For me, because that was, I thought
we're flipping a coin. Is that what we're doing?
You could flip any of these, what are these waffles called?
Strip waffles, they look the same on each side.
Strip waffle, well, put an M on one side for Middleton and an MC for McMahon on the other and flip it. See what happens.
I could flip this Hard Rock Cafe badge for you.
Right, go for that. But look, it's going a far certain way.
No, it's not going, huh?
You choose. I think it's in a day.
What is it between?
McMahon and Middleton.
Right, McMahon's a guitar side. Middleton's the pin side.
Right.
What is that then?
It's Middleton.
There you go.
Middleton, man of the match.
Glenn Middleton's man of the match. That's how we... Sorry, Scott, indeed. But that left side's getting better and better every week.
It is. I'm not going to compare it to Dixon and Conway, but in some ways, like, we were always assured when they were on that left-hand side that we were going to be quite solid at the back and quite good going forward, and I feel the same just now, albeit at a lower level in the Championship. They've built up a great understanding together.
So there's a reason you go to Dunfermline. It's not always for the 90 minutes, because I've seen some shite doing there. I've also seen some really good games doing there.
Seen some defeats as well, though.
Uh-huh. Seen hat-trick of penalty saves.
Yes.
Yep. Two ex-United players missed that day for the spot.
Yep. Nicky Clark and McMullen.
And that?
Yep.
The steak bridey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gets a mention in the good, bad, and the ugly rondo.
Well, so there was three of us in the car.
Yeah.
Parked up, got on the ground.
Somebody texted you.
You'd already texted us and updated us on the situation. I then joined the queue, and Trapdoor says, am I getting, is it 6 steak brideys? I was like, what are you getting for us? He says, and I says, no. I says, we may have had cans in the car going down the road, so no, I'll just say one, and a bovvy nearby. So he somehow, 2 managed to be in his pocket by mistake. I don't care how he managed that, but he ended up paying 2. So we've bought these. We are all together. The same person has got these out the oven. You couldn't get 4 different temperatures if you tread.
Incredible.
Right?
Incredible.
So mine's just lukewarm. Fraser's was fine. Trapdoor had one no bad and 1 byline, I think. So anyway, that was it. Bovril, tidy. Didn't stir it enough. I got a pure pepper explosion in my last gulp. But as I'd bought, or as I had been handed the bovvy and the steak bridey, and I was heading towards the seating, because I knew it'd be carnage, so I made sure we were in early to get to my actual set. I was going, and friend of the show, with two hands, called Sue.
Yeah, I saw two hands, Sue.
Accused me of having two Amrides. And I said, I have no, I've only got one. Yeah. Trapdoor's got two, but you've got two. I says, I'll tell you now, I do not, and I actually only one. So I am putting it, because I seen the accusation on Twitter and I yesterday.
Yeah.
But I just had the one, and I'll tell you now, I'm glad I only had the one.
Yeah, well, so we got in, we were about the first in the ground, because similar to you.
Again,
similar to you, just wanted to get in a set, wanted to make sure I was getting the freshest, warmest, tastiest brideys. So Shaw went and got the brideys in, and I scrammed the first day in a record time, but I says to her, that was freezing cold. She's like, what would you eat it for then? I was like, well, what's the other option? It's eat or no eat, is it? So I thought I was getting it. So she was like, look, I'll go and tuck them back. I'll tell them, like, she'd had a wee bit out of hers, and hers was cold as well. So she took them back, came back with warmer ends.
Microwave.
Well, no, they weren't. I don't think she said that they just gave her different ends for the oven, if the oven even fucking works. And these ends were lukewarm, I thought. So I don't know if it's the bridey, if it's the ovens, is it only the away fans that here to experience this nonsense?
Have you had to have a good away pair this or pair bridey this season?
Arbroath, we had Arbroath away first game, Ronnie.
Shite.
You're not right.
Shite.
You're not right in the head.
Wraith, shite. No, Wraith was okay. Airdrie, shite. And that was shite.
That's poor.
I just like, no chip.
For us to build it up as a Bridey Friday and
let me down.
Like the game secondary here, boys. Come on, let's have the pile through and have our tea. Like, it was such a disappointment.
I should have had my tea before my tea. Wouldn't have been the worst thing, to be honest. But yeah, but hey, 3 points. That's all that matters. Before we get on to our talking about the cup this Friday. How's the good, bad and ugly looking?
It's looking. I mean, it's looking good, bad and ugly, I suppose. So the good this week, doesn't get better than a 3-point Friday night. Far from superb performance, but once again, the team got the job done. 13 games, 9 wins, no losses, 33 goals scored and 6 conceded. Bra. The bad, just spoke about it. Stevens Brideys. What's happened to them? Used to be exceptional. Absolute peak scran. These days, they can't even heat them up properly, and you get cheers north of £3 for the pleasure. Shambolic. And ugly. It's ugly, but it's true. United are now 18 games unbeaten, because goddammit, Rondo, M. Kunt and Carlisle away. And yet, if you were to listen to the managers of the opposition teams that we've played these last few months, you'd think we were the luckiest team in the world, as we apparently get outplayed nearly every week. Goody.
The SPFL Trust Trophy comes round on Friday. We're on the telly again. It's a 7:40 kick-off on Friday night. Against Falkirk, they beat Edinburgh City 2-1 on Saturday. They are currently top of League One. There's going to be changes, given that we've said Kyle Fullenham are more likely to be on international duty, by the way. It's looking, and good luck, Tom. What would you like to see change on Friday?
It doesn't matter what I want to see, Rondo.
Or who would you like to see get some minutes?
I'll be surprised if Louis Moat plays, purely because of the pitch. And he didn't play last time at Falkirk, albeit he was just in the door. He didn't play at Airdrie. He came on at Wraith, because we needed him to come on at Wraith. So I'll be surprised if he starts the game.
Cujo probably in for Fallingham.
Cujo, you'd imagine, is going to play. But I think the
Glass Mockery.
It would be good to see them, but you can't.
Ross Graham.
Again, yeah. I would like to see them. I think Ross Graham will probably get a start, because he's started with games in this tournament, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the four got sent this morning was, I think, Declan Gallagher in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, sitting outside the MRI unit. Yeah, so. And then I can't, if it's for him, for somebody else, a Bairn or something. Whatever it's for, I hope they're all right. But yeah, I think Ross Graham might get a game there. Gallagher's kind of been nursing that groin injury as well. So if he was to sit out, then it's no.
Because I think, am I right in saying the last couple of games in that cup, Ross Graham's come in for Holt in one game and Gallagher the other. Yeah. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. So I expect him to come back in. Whether or not Sheep comes in for Grimshaw, who knows? Time will tell on that. It would be great to see Flynn Duffy coming in, but is he going to leave Scott McMahon out?
Nah.
I'd be amazed.
I generally think there'll be three or four. I don't think it'll be...
Minimum changes.
Yeah. But again, you're forcing your hand with one. I would think Ross Graham's going to be two. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see Mockery and Glass probably both in there.
Yeah.
That would be mine.
I think I could see Tilson dropping to the bench. I don't think he would leave out Sibbald and Tilson.
I think
he's not going to risk Docherty.
I think I'd like to see Walton, and I'm thinking three or four changes here. So Grimshaw, Graham, Holt, McMahon, Sibbald, Mockery, Glass, Cujo, Watt, Middleton.
Yeah, that might be. That might be the way we go.
Maybe I've just leaked the team.
Possibly, huh?
Far ahead.
That'll be you sucked. You're in that WhatsApp group chat with Jim Goodwin.
That's how we pick the team. We just vote on it. Just vote.
Be as well.
That's it.
That'll soon make its way on to Twitter, won't it? Right, starting 11 boys, vote.
That's it. Just do a poll for it. But Falk are obviously in good form. They're top of League One, but we've already been there this season. And obviously another screamer for Kai following him.
It was an absolute rocket, yeah. It was about as far out as Brewster's in 94.
Who got injured that day?
Oh, that's a good question.
It was Kai.
It was Kai.
Because Meekison had to go wide left.
He'd done his calf and he missed quite a bit.
And the problem that happened there is Meekison started the game really well, got punted out to left wing, and then we didn't see him again. Again, Dana Jones for the team, I totally get. But it was Kai.
This went quiet on the young Arch front as well, hasn't it? Like, it was just
he'll be a month.
But they were saying, he's not that far away. He's not, like, that's quite a relative thing to say. Like, what's no far away? 1 week, 2 weeks.
My holiday's no far away. That's 12 weeks.
Exactly. It's close to you. But it went a wee bit quiet, which is unfortunate for young Arch, because he was certainly playing a part in the squad and in the team when he was coming on. So unfortunate. But you going to go? You heading down?
Yeah, heading down.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to go. I'll wait and see.
Wharton. So TV then work. Yeah. So I probably could mark it by Bahir territory, but it's not worth it. No.
I mean, when I'm saying Louis Molt's probably not going to play because of the surface, I'm fairly certain that Queen of the South have still got a plastic pitch as well. So if he doesn't play against Falkirk, are you gonna leave him at two games on?
Yeah,
the bench?
Queen of the South a week after, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be half a surprise. So maybe Molt will get some minutes at some point, but just based on what we've seen so far this season with the different surfaces, I wouldn't be surprised if Louis Molt starts on the bench.
Yeah. Right then, our loanees this weekend, what are they up to, Paul?
Well, up in Montrose we've got Miller Thompson. Miller has started his side's home match against Annan on Saturday, and he put in another very good performance, playing the full 90 minutes, but he could only help his side to a point as the match finished 1-1. Leighton Bisland at Falkirk. Leighton started on the bench this past Saturday as Edinburgh City were the visitors to the Falkirk Stadium. He'd enter the fray in the 68th minute, however, with the score 2-1 to Falkirk, and that is the way it would finish. Incidentally, Rondo, Cole Donaldson is the Falkirk captain these days. LOL.
Oh.
Rory McLeod at Forfar. Rory was back in the Forfar starting lineup for Saturday's visit to Clyde and was playing out on the wing. He'd send in some decent crosses in the first half, but a combination of good goalkeeping and forwards failing to turn the ball into the net meant that the teams went in at half-time 0-0. The second half was a more even affair with chances at both ends. Out of the blue though, Clyde's Connor Young scored a worldie from just outside the box, rattling the ball into the top corner of the net. At 77 minutes in, young Rory was substituted off and replaced by Big Dunk's son, Cameron Ferguson. Shortly after, the sub forfar Stuart Morrison stepped up just outside the box and smashed a right-footed drive into the bottom corner of the net to rescue a point for the Station Park men. They are struggling, by the way. They're near the bottom of League 2. McKinnon's coat must surely be on a sugary peg. Logan Chalmers at Ayr United. Logan would be in his usual place in the starting lineup for Ayr's trip up to Inverness, but unusually, he'd only last 45 minutes before getting replaced. He failed to have any sort of impact on the game in his time on the park, and by half-time, his side trailed 3-0. The game went on to finish 3-1 to Big Dunk's men. Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. Fraser Fivey and Mark Reynolds brought their Cove side to deepest darkest Fife on Saturday to face Lewis and his chums. Lewis again played the whole match, again picked up a booking, and couldn't get the better of Fraser Fivey as Cove were 1-0 winners on the day. The good thing though, he's getting plenty of game time. Brian Mwangi at Spartans. Are you sitting down, Rondo? Are you tight?
Sat
down. Brian Mwangi actually got onto the park this Saturday to make his Spartans debut. He started on the bench, of course he did, down at Stenhouse Muir, but in the 88th minute, he'd finally get some minutes in this loan spell. There was a healthy amount of stoppage time added on as well, so Brian would actually get about 10 minutes, but his side lost 3-2 on the day. The B team and the academy team. The B team headed for Falkirk on Tuesday in the Reserve League Cup, and it would be a happy team bus heading back to Dundee afterwards. Falkirk had the first chance of the match, but it only took United 17 minutes to get off the mark when a sweeping move involving Lewis O'Donnell, Craig Moore and Scott Constable ended with Adam Carnwath being teed up on the edge of the box to hit a shot that took a wicked deflection and nestled in the back of the net. Ollie Denham would then channel his inner Kevin Holt as he headed home from a corner and then struck his second of the game from long range. 3-0 up at half-time and cruising. After the break, Falkirk would pull a goal back and then just before the end of the game, each team would score once more, with United's Zeke Cameron getting our fourth of the day before a defensive mix-up allowed Falkirk a consolation. A fairly comfortable 4-2 win on the day. On Friday night, as the first team were battering James McBake's mob, the academy lads headed through to play Celtic at their place and came back with a famous victory. In what was a feisty affair, Scott Constable would score United's first goal before Adam Carnwath scored a late solo goal to seal a 2-0 win. A clean sheet for Lewis Haldane, a red card for Scott Constable, two reds for Celtic, all happened on the night. A cracking win for the lads. The women's team. United welcomed Celtic to Foundation Park last Sunday, and if I'm being honest, I wasn't really looking forward to it. I went along to the game with Argentina's number one venom drinker and all-round good guy, Augustin, and we were treated to a very good performance from the ladies. They were always on a hiding to nothing going up against the might of Celtic, but every single player gave their all for the whole match, and in the main, the keeper and back line were solid throughout. Celtic would manage to breach them twice, however, and ultimately won the match 2-0. But it was a vast improvement on the previous clash between the sides. United also took to the field on the day with a trialist goalie, and it wasn't until I got to the game that I realised that the trialist was none other than last season's Dode Fox podcast Women's Team Player of the Year, Fiona McNichol. It goes without saying that she was excellent on the day, and a quick chat after the game confirmed that she was actually signing a short-term deal with the team. So McNichol will once again represent Dundee United, and once again, that name will be emblazoned on the back of that beautiful strip. Superb. That was all well and good, however. They still had to head through to Edinburgh to face the Spartans last Wednesday night. And it was a match that Augustin also ventured through to, on his way to the airport. Before our South American buddy would board his flight, he would see the team put in a stellar performance, culminating in a last-minute winner to ensure the team's first-ever win down at Spartans. A feat that the men's team couldn't even manage earlier in the season. The Spartans would take the lead in the first half, and they'd remain in the lead until the skipper Rachel Todd picked up the ball on the right, drove past a few players before curling an absolute beauty into the top corner. The game looked like it would fizzle out into a draw on the night until United won a free kick about 30 yards from goal. Cassie Cowper stepped up to take the kick and smashed her free kick off the underside of the bar and in to commence wild celebrations on and off the park. A great win and a great 3 points on the night. Today, as we are recording this nonsense, the team are through at Meadowbank Stadium to play Hibs in the quarter-final of the Sky Sports Cup. Good luck to them.
Is that their equivalent of the League Cup? Or is that the Scottish Cup?
I think it's the League Cup.
Okay. I'll take your word for that. Don't believe you, but I'll take your word for that. So, right to Z, the Dundee United end, Paul and I picking a player whose surname starts with a letter. We plead our case why they should be in the A to Z. We have to see them in our lifetime, and you can then vote over on Twitter or X or whatever it's called every Tuesday. Hamish took the MC. Now, this week being M, right? Dave Neary's in, right? Doesn't need a vote. I'm not even entertaining a conversation or a vote, but we are going to vote on who would be a substitute in. There's no point in putting MD up against the GOAT, right? No point. But let's see what other names we can throw into a vote on Tuesday for an N substitute poll. So, are you wanting to start with dishonourable or honourable mentions this week?
There's two dishonourable on my list. Have you got?
Well, I've got four.
You've got four, okay.
Right, what have you got?
Any of yours might be on my honourables. Patrick and Coy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Tick!
Yeah. The one memory I've got about Patrick and Coy is he was awfully nice to Leo. Mind United had the game where it was 100 Bairns against United. It was a pre-season thing. I don't know kind of if you were working that day or no.
Fraser Five, he was there.
I think he might have been, yeah. But Patrick and Coy, he was great with the Bairns. He was great with Leo. He was honking as a football player. But he did score three goals for us.
Did, yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And my second dishonourable is Alec Nichols.
Oh, dick.
Is he now a fiery or something?
The idea.
Or was he a fiery at the time? He might have been good at putting out fires. He was hopeless at putting bars into the box.
Just swap shifts to come and play. Yeah, Miss Fiery's icky. I've got a second job, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he had in enough. But he was better at his first job of being a fiery.
Find the open goalmaster in his debut.
Oh, Leo was mascot that day.
See if he scored.
That was Wraith.
Totally different. See if he scores there, probably would have been different for him.
I don't think it would have been.
So
he did put the ban for Dickers at Falkirk, though. That famous goal. Or Dickers got on the end of it and that
he,
celebration.
He's still a dishonourable, right?
He is.
Well, I'm going to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
Beto Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And Aidan Nesbitt.
Aidan Nesbitt. Yeah, he wasn't the best, was he?
No. Now, it shows that he's a decent player when he gets a run of games and playing in teams.
At that level. Yeah.
But we were at that level.
Yeah.
But, so he would go on, right? What's on your honourable mentions list?
Right, I'm going to start with...
Because this is effectively what's going to end up being a vote, depending on what you've got next to your other end. I just put Dave Nair in and put anybody else.
Right, okay.
This will be good.
A serious end. Tommy Nielsen, okay, signed by Jerry Kerr, 1959, stayed at Tannadice until 68. Tommy was part of the United team that finished in fifth place in 65-66, the club's highest ever league position at the time, and made their European debut the following season. In late 1966, he was in the United team that was victorious against Barcelona in Spain in the Fairs Cup, and also played in the return leg at Tannadice, as the side recorded two of the club's most famous victories. He also played in both legs against Juventus in the next round, and travelled to America as part of a 16-man squad that represented Dallas Tornado in the United Soccer Association in the summer of 67. Tommy would play 316 games for us, score 11 goals. In many ways, Rondo, he's a club legend. My other honourable mention was Ilmari Niskanen. And I only put that in to wind up with mate Martin.
Right?
But I actually chose, like you're saying you didn't choose, I chose somebody to go up against Neri.
And I can't what it'll be.
It can only be one man.
It can only be, but I'll give you another honourable mention then, okay. And I'll leave on that, and then we'll decide what we're voting for a laugh. I'm going to put into this, right? And I know it's, and this is on playing career, and it's purely because he smashed Samaras right in the pus, Robbie Nielsen,
yeah.
Who incidentally is now the head coach.
He's now a fanny.
Of Tampa Bay Rowdies, whose nickname is The Fannies.
Robbie Nielsen's
so
a fanny.
So Fraser Logan sent us that, and I noticed he sent it to Off the Ball as well, because they were in a right go of that. But Robbie Nielsen is now a fanny. But I still remember we were sitting on Zoom and you brought that up.
Yep.
Tom, and he took it really well. But that was outstanding stuff. There's only one man that's left, isn't it?
There really is, yeah. Yeah, he's a cup winner. And if more managers had have been of this on the same page as podcast pal Ivan Golak, he'd have been the player that got the club its biggest ever transfer fee. I think he's now currently a limo driver in Atlanta, yes. Georgia as well. Yeah. So Jaron Nixon was my other pick. 59 games, 10 goals, Scottish Cup winner.
Yeah. Right, okay. So I will form some kind of vote for that for a substitute in just for a bit of fun on Tuesday. Because Dave Neary's in. Of course he is. On this day then, in association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006, some games and a birthday mention for you today. Games then, 13th of November, the focus. We beat Falkirk 6-3 at Brockville.
Oof.
In 1943.
I don't think I made that in.
No.
I was fighting the Germans.
I talked laughing Friday.
I would definitely do that.
In 1982, we went into the game versus Rangers, defending our undefeated home record. There was a big crowd at Tannadice on a chilly November afternoon to watch the match. It was 2-2 going in the last 5 minutes of the 90 before Richard Goff slammed home a third, and just a minute later, Ralphie got his second of the day. He broke away, raced in on goal, and dispatched a brilliant solo effort into the top corner to cap a fine victory, 4-2, the good guys. So in 1982, we were undefeated at this point, which is exactly the same as it is now. I know it's different leagues, but we'll take the same result.
Yes, we will.
A Derek Lilly double. Hold on, I'll repeat myself there, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
A Derek Lilly double in 2002 versus Livingston saw us into the League Cup semi-final. Gary Bolan was in the home side's lineup that day as Paul Hegarty's men won 2-0 at Almond Vale.
That's rare that we went down there, is it? No.
Well, 2 years later, we faced them again. This time in the league, and it'd be one of Paul's all-time favourite United players who'd get the winner. Sheep-shagged Dons manager Barry Robson's corner was met by the outstanding David McCracken, who headed in the first of his season as United won 1-0. The Livingston side that day included Craig Easton, mm-hmm. Derek Lilly, Jim Hamilton, and some funny called James McPake.
Is that right? He must have been a Bairn at that point, eh?
David McCracken, though, eh? Player. Our birthday mention. As a player, I never seen play for United. He wasn't signed in 1908 when Paul was going to the games. He was actually signed by Tam Courts. He made 3 appearances for United. They were all away from home. They were all in or close to Edinburgh. They were all for the substitutes bench. Max Biamu is 33 the day, and for what I gather, nae club since we released him.
Yeah, yeah, and then before, like he was a free agent, was he? I think I saw all 3 performances. Yeah.
Who were they against?
Hibs, Livy, Hertz.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Yeah,
never seen him play.
Yeah, he had a chance at the Livingston game. He had a header. I remember that, but it was a strange one because I think Hibs was his debut. And the fans had a song for him and Aachen, but he just, I don't know what that was. Did he get injured?
Pass.
Maybe how he only played.
I'm pretty sure I've seen him on the bench. I just don't think, I never seen him on the pitch.
It's a strange one. Like, he's not going to go down as a legend of the club anytime soon. He's up there with Troy Brown.
When his hairband fell out, that's magnificent, was it?
Eclipse of the fucking sun.
I was absolutely jealous that day. Like, I thought, that is what I aspire to.
Yeah.
And you just, Ken, what you done him at the pass, you pick up your hairband instead, because we're currently getting bit Aloha away.
And nobody could find the bar now.
And somebody's eating scones, jam and cream on them. I've got to pay on a roll and get yours double. Bastards. Anyway. While we're in the cup, we may as well win the bloody thing. Falkirk away on Friday night. We're at Don't Fox Podcast on social media. Check out the website, don'tfoxpodcast.com. Have a great week. Stay safe. And don't forget to wash your hands and your assholes.